Hello, and welcome to the Project Elected podcast. Project Elect is a nonpartisan nonprofit whose goal is pretty simple. We want to get more Latter-day Saint women involved in public service. On this podcast, we interview amazing Latter-day Saint women who are involved in public service. Hi, my name is Audrey Perry Martin. I'm the founder of Project Elect and the host of this podcast.
Today, our podcast guest is Jen Gale, and I have been hoping to talk to Jen for a long time. My mom is her number one fan and has been telling me I need to talk to her. She is a city council member in the town I grew up in, Orem, Utah, and she just got elected and has a lot of great insights and thoughts to share with us. Jen, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. And I love your mom, so I'm really grateful for the chance to talk with you today.
Yeah, she's the best. I like her too. First, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and how you ended up on Orem City Council?
That is a great question. So I am a mom. I have six kids. My daughter is my oldest and she's 23. And then I have five sons, ages 20 down to 10. And if you had told me that one day I would be sitting on city council, I might have just laughed at you and said, that's not really in my plans. I got my undergraduate degree at BYU years ago in music, and I always knew I wanted to go back and get my master's degree, but I didn't really know what I wanted to study. So I graduated from college, I got a job, I worked, and then I had a family, and the more kids I had, the less I worked professionally, and the more I started working in what they were doing. So my kids were on the swim team, I got involved in the swim team, and then I became the board president, and then I became the swim coach, and then my kids mountain biking. I got involved in mountain biking. I'm a coach on the mountain bike team. I started helping them with their operations. So I'm the operations director now. And all of these things led me to involvement in the city. I got to know the city employees through those things. And I was living this great, happy life. And then one day, a friend of mine was telling me about her master's degree. And she had gone back to get her master's degree in public administration at BYU. And as she was telling me about it, I thought, you know what, this is the thing. This is what I want to do. I'd always wanted to go back. And I knew that when the time was right, I would know. And that was it. So I decided to go back to school. I'm still a student, actually. I did the executive program so I could go to school at night and be with my kids during the day and do all the other things during the day. And I will finish this April in 4 months, and I'm super excited. So anyway, in the process of all of this, I met people in the city, got involved, and then there were some things in the city that were going on that were a little bit divisive and contentious. And I had a friend come to me and say, hey, you should run for city council. And I'd had people tell me that before, and I just smiled and nodded and said, yeah, that sounds great for someone else. But then they came down and they sat in my living room and they said, no, you really need to do this. You have the skills, you have the education, you have the connection, you have the work history, like you should do this. And so I thought long and hard about it and said, now isn't exactly a convenient time, but hard things aren't usually convenient. So when is there going to be a convenient time? And the answer is there's not going to be a convenient time. So thought a lot about it and I prayed about it and just felt like this is the right thing. Let's do this. And so here I am. Did the election, did the campaigning, kept doing school, kept helping my kids do the things that they were doing, and kind of in a nutshell, how I ended up here.
I love that story. It's such a fantastic story about how people would ask you to run and you brushed it off and then finally realized it's never going to be a great time, but I'm going to run anyway. And that's really brave and amazing. What kind of pushed you over the edge? Why did you finally think, okay, I'm going to do this time?
So that's a good question. I thought about this before in passing. Oh, maybe I could do that because I think it was suited to my skill set. But this time, what made it different were, and you know, they, like I said, I've been asked a few times or casually mentioned a few times, and then people came and sat down in my living room and said, we want you to do this. And as I was deciding, do I do this? Do I not do this? I actually thought about my ancestors. So my 11th great grandfather is William Bradford, who was a colonist, the governor of Plymouth Colony, and was on the Mayflower. Then I thought about, I had relatives in the Civil War, World War I, World War II, the Korean War. I had an ancestor who crossed the plains, carried her whole family across the plains because her husband had been injured at the Battle of Crooked River. And I thought about these ancestors and the service that they rendered to their communities and to their country and to their faith. And it wasn't convenient. It wasn't convenient for them. And they didn't stop and say, well, this just really isn't convenient. I'm not going to do this. They said, no, this is a priority. I'm going to do this. And that, I think, really inspired me to say, okay, it is not convenient right now, but this is important. And if anything, I want my kids to know that this is what we do. We are not here on this earth to be endlessly entertained. We live in a day and age of opportunity where there are so many things we can do. We can get an education. We can fulfill our passions. We can chase whatever rabbit we want to chase. But we are here to serve, and we are here to learn, and we are here to grow, and we are here to become something. And you only do that, I think, through service and through prioritizing important things. So when it came down to it, I think that's actually what pushed me over the edge. And I saw lots of people in our community getting involved and giving of themselves in really big ways. And I thought, how can I sit by and watch them stand up and take the hit and do the work and then not join them?
That's an incredible reason. I love it. I've never heard someone talk about their ancestors in that way, that they decided to get involved in community service because of all the things their ancestors did and all the sacrifices and the hard things their ancestors went through, and that they were involved in community service and helping others, and they need to keep the chain going to show their children it's important. That's incredible. I love it. I can't wait to share that with our listeners. Can you tell us a little bit about Utah and Orem, Utah specifically for those of our listeners who maybe aren't familiar with the city?
Yes, Utah is a great place and Orem is a great place. It's a great place to raise a family. It's nestled right here in the hills and in the big mountains of Utah. It's close to recreation. It's close to universities. There's two major universities nearby us. And it is a great place to raise a family. But I think it's like any place across the United States. More and more, we're seeing some divisiveness in politics. And we'd seen that in the last year or two, and people, good people on both sides of issues, just struggling to get their arms around how to best deal with the challenges. So I think, I guess another reason that compelled me to run was to say, look, we are so much more alike than we are different, and we can bridge these gaps. And I think that's one of my main purposes actually in being here, is to say, look, let's work together. Let's put aside our differences. Let's solve the problems together instead of being divided. Let's be united. I don't know if there's anything more you're looking for specifically about Orem, but that's it in a nutshell from what I can tell you.
No, that's great. You and I switched places because I grew up in Orem and now I'm in California, and you grew up in California and now live near my parents in Orem. So Orem has a special place in my heart for sure. So what kind of issues do you care about? You've been on city council. How long have you officially been a member of city council?
It's January 3rd. Okay. So today is January 16th, I think, and it was January 3rd. So not very long.
Oh, that's great. Let's talk about what you've learned in the past couple of weeks, I guess. How has that been?
It has been awesome. And it has been a learning curve. There's just so much involved in running a city. And I think as bystanders, we watch the city just happens. The potholes are fixed and the recreation center operates and all of the things. But it's been really fun to meet with city staff and just delve even just a little bit into their jobs and what they do and how they work and how the city functions and everything in the city. There's people behind the scenes pulling the puppet strings to make those things happen. And so it's been fun to delve into that and get insight and appreciation really for the really great people who run our cities and make those things happen. It's been, I guess, a learning experience. And it's also been a lot of trying to be humble and saying, wow, I don't know what I've gotten myself into, but I think I can do this. Let's figure it out. I've had to just that first time you step up on the dais and you think, what am I doing? But it's been awesome. And I've really enjoyed it so far.
You mentioned before that one of the reasons why you had been thinking about running is because you thought it kind of went with your skill set. What would you say a public servant, what kind of skills are important for a public servant to have?
That is a good question. And I think that there's a lot of different answers to that. And I think at any given time, it's like when the Bible talks about, you know, you have need of the eye and you have need of the hands and you have need of the foot, and we all bring different things to the table. So for any different role, there's 1,000 different things that could be needed. Ideally, you'll have someone that's organized, someone that is passionate about good governance, someone that has the skills necessary to do the job. So it's one thing to talk about, I want to have a great city, but another thing to say, look, I've had experience in the workforce. I've had experience in the public sector. I've had experience in the private sector. I've had experience volunteering in our communities and getting to know the families in our communities. I consider myself fairly, I wouldn't say technically savvy, but I can use the word processing things and all of those things that help make me more efficient and more effective. But I think more than all of that, I think it's a desire to serve. And I think it's investing the time and energy required to do it well. And then it's coming with an attitude of humility and with a desire to help people elevate all of us. So instead of just me doing my role, I recognize that I'm only successful and the city staff is only successful if we work together. So it's a desire to really elevate the whole, not just come in and do one job.
So you obviously had a lot of volunteering experience. I read your bio before this podcast. I mean, you've been involved in all different kinds of things. And you mentioned some of that was through your kids and other reasons. But what have you learned through all that volunteering that you think is going to help you as a city council member and maybe helped you in your election?
I think the first thing I learned was to love people. and to appreciate people and to learn from people. I think that was a big thing I learned. The other thing was just, okay, how does the city work? How does it, if you want to get something done, who do you go talk to and why and how? The other thing I think is just bringing people together for good reasons, whether that's, hey, we're going to go build a trail on the side of the mountain, or whether that's, hey, we're going to go haul all the couches off of the mountain that people put up there. You know, one time our team went out and took, I think, 15 couches off the mountain in a couple of hours. I think it's just this ability to mobilize people to do good things. I've learned how to do that better, I think. And the other thing I think I've learned is I've learned how much I don't know. I used to be upset or frustrated by that or worried about it. And now I look at it as there's so much I don't even know that I don't know. And every day I'm going to learn a little bit more, and that's going to be enough. And that's okay, as long as I'm constantly making that effort.
That makes a lot of sense. So I want to switch gears here. I know you're a mom of six. How did your family react when you told them you were going to run for office? Did they help you? Did they support you? How did that work with your family and your responsibilities there?
When I was seriously thinking about it, I talked to some of my older kids and just said, hey, I'm thinking of doing this. What do you think? And my daughter in particular just got giddy and looked at me and said, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but I think you should do it. So that was fun to see. I think actually they were proud of me. I think that they looked at that and said, yeah, that's a good thing. You should do that. You should go try that. One of them actually said, it's about time. Get to it. The other ones, the younger ones, I think were a little bit more oblivious. I don't really know what that means, but all of them have been super helpful. They put up signs, they take down signs. I listened to some event that you guys sponsored sometime this summer. And one of the women who were on the panel, I asked the question, how do you balance this with your family? How do you balance elected office or even campaigning with family? And she said, you know what? I get my family involved. I bring them with me. It's not, hey, mom has another meeting. It's we are having another meeting. So this one time we had this, it was get to know the candidates night. And so the candidates all went into this big auditorium and we answered questions and talked. And then afterwards, the people could come and meet and greet and ask questions. And we had tables set up where we could put our material or handouts or whatever. And then it's tradition that we would take our campaign signs and tape them together in kind of fun stacks by our tables. So my son, he's 14. He helped me haul all the stuff in there. And I was running late, of course, because I'm a mom of six kids and that's how life is sometimes. I said, okay, you stack the signs and I'm going to go in and do this candidate discussion I'm going to present. And then when I come out, the signs will be ready and this will be a happy thing. So I go in and I do my presentation and I come out and he has made like the wildest stack of campaign signs that you have ever seen. So you come out and all of them look the same. And then there's Jen Gale with her bright yellow signs and some super wild configuration. And I gave him a big hug and said, wow, thanks. Now, how about we tone it down a little bit? But they were really supportive and they came and they helped and they did the things. But I think the trick was I brought them with me. And I think that's important because I want them to know this isn't just something mom does. This is something we do. We serve. We participate. Civic engagement is so important. And I think that they see that from a young age. They see me out voting. They see me standing up on an issue I think is important. They see me running for office. And I hope somewhere along the line that sort of helps become part of who they are and that they also will step up when the time is right.
Yeah. That's an incredible story. I love the story of your son making a fantastic stack of campaign signs, drawing attention to your booth. And also the fact that you involved your kids in the decision, right? You talked to them beforehand. They were old enough. Sometimes I talk to moms with really little kids who are running, and 4-year-old's not going to have much of an opinion. If your kids are older, they can help you with the decision and help you run. And it's such a good example of being involved in your community and lifelong service and all of those things we want our kids to learn. It's fantastic you got them involved and excited, it sounds like, to help you on your campaign. So when you decided to run for office, you can't do it by yourself. When you decided to run, how did you gather a team?
I reached out to anyone I could think of that would have insight on this. People that had run before, people that had run campaigns before, people in other cities who were on the city council. And I just learned everything I could and kept a running document on my computer. And as I would talk to someone, I would just type notes of the things I learned or the suggestions that they had or the ideas that they had. And then I had a group of people in the city who I just people who are servants and who have served on school boards or been on the city council or former mayors. And I turned to them and I said, what do you think? How do you think I'd approach this? What are the things I had to watch out for? What worked for you? Tell me what your thought on this issue is. And just got their insights. And of course, I didn't do all the things that they said or even agree with some of their perspectives, but just getting the information really helped me sort through how I wanted to approach it. And I learned a lot, actually. So I think anybody considering running for office, I think that could be something that benefits them. Just ask questions. Just, hey, I know that you did X, Y, Z. Tell me about that. What was your experience? What do you recommend? What suggestions do you have? And I actually learned quite a bit from that. And then from that, I think I was able to zero in on the people that would be the most helpful. Who do I want as a campaign manager? Who do I want to help me with my volunteers? Who do I want to help me with whatever it was? I think just having those broad discussions led me to people that I may not have connected with otherwise and put together a team.
And were people pretty willing to answer your questions, even if you didn't know them that well, or maybe they didn't agree with you on everything? How did you approach them and what was their reaction?
Oh, for sure. They were really willing to help. I think, I think all of us recognize that we're in this for the benefit of the whole and that this is civic engagement is important and they're happy to share their experiences. So I might just call them up and say, hey, my name is Jen and I'm considering running for city council. I know you ran last election. I would just love to pick your brain and get your experiences and hear how it went for you and what things you might suggest. And I had a list of questions that I would go through and I tried to keep it short and be respectful of their time, but it was a great opportunity to not just get insight and information from them, but to build relationships that will then I'll have for a long time. And I really appreciated that opportunity.
Sometimes city council races, you run unopposed, it's not a big deal, but you had a tough campaign from what I hear. How did you deal with any negativity or the conflicts that are involved in politics?
Yeah, that is the part of campaigning that probably wasn't my favorite. And I'm sure I see it everywhere. Campaigns are just tough. I think recognizing that one, campaigns are tough. And once everybody puts down the boxing gloves and we all come together as a city, this all goes away. And I think that's true actually for the most part. But the way I dealt with it was a few things. One, I stayed off of social media. I didn't respond. I didn't engage. I didn't go there. I did have campaign staff who would post for me and do those kinds of things, but I just didn't get sucked into the vortex of negativity that social media can sometimes be. And then two, I listened to President Nelson's talk on being a peacemaker probably like 50 times. Sometimes it was 5 times a day. I would put it on just while I was exercising or while I was out walking or while I was whatever I was doing or making dinner, doing laundry, whatever. I listened to that talk so many times and just prayed to have insight into how to be a better peacemaker, how to respond when people are being negative and how to love people. And then I prayed to love people and see people as the Lord does. And that just helped me recognize and see that they may have a different opinion on something and they may approach this differently than I want to, but they are coming from a place of that makes sense to them, of wanting our city to be better. And they may execute their vision differently than I wish they would, but that doesn't make their vision any less important or any less relevant or that person any less of a person. Their vision is valid. Their experience is valid. And who am I to disagree with that? It was really a stretching exercise, actually, to just really try and see people as good contributing members of our society, even when I disagreed. And it was a great opportunity, actually.
Yeah, I'm so glad you mentioned the President Nelson's peacemaking talk, because that is my absolute favorite. It really goes to not only that we should be involved in public service, but what good we can do in public service if we take that approach, right? As Latter-day Saints. We at Project Elect obviously are trying to encourage a lot of LDS women to run for office. Do you think that's important? Do you think we need to be the peacemakers? And how would you talk women into running for office? How would you convince them this was a good idea, even though it's sometimes negative and terrible?
That's something I struggled with. And I think a lot of people struggle with when you think about it. Look, I can live my comfortable life and do my thing and be happy, or I can subject myself to this campaign that may be not so great. That's a tough sell. But I do think we have a responsibility. In fact, we have almost more responsibility than anyone else because we know what we know. And if we choose not to take that steps, we are abdicating that responsibility and leaving it in the hands of someone else who may not value peacemaking and who may not value civility and good public dialogue and respect of our citizens. Yeah, I think it's important. I think it's really important enough that I'm willing to do this. I was willing to endure this campaign because it is so important. So yeah, do I think we have a responsibility? Absolutely. Do I think that we as Latter-day Saint women with the insights we have are probably more suited than anyone else and have the vision and capacity to do these things more than anyone else, then yeah, I think we do. So does that mean the time and season is right for everyone all the time? No. But I think just knowing that responsibility sits there and being willing and open to execute it when the time is right puts us in positions that opportunities will come up when the time is right.
What are you most looking forward to as far as being a member of City Council? You've only been in the job for a couple of weeks, but is there anything that you're really excited about or excited to get to do or participate in?
Yeah, I am really excited to just meet with our people. I'm responsible for a couple of commissions and I've met with a couple of those. One of them is our Summer Fest, or it's called Orem Fest now, and it's our citywide celebration. The volunteers come and these are passionate people who give of themselves and serve our community in such great ways. And I'm so inspired by that service because they don't have to serve on the Orem Fest committee. There's nothing that is saying you have to do this, but they are choosing to do it because they want to make our community better. And that service makes such a difference in our community. It brings people together. And where there might be divisiveness, when we put a face to a person and get to know them as a person, that goes a long way toward reducing that divisiveness and inspiring unity. And so these little everyday decisions people make to become involved and to become participants in our community have such long-reaching results that they couldn't even really fathom. So I think my favorite part of being on the council will just be getting to know our people and seeing the great service that they render and how it impacts their neighbors and their communities and the families in our city. It's been awesome to see that just one, and they talk about this and it feels so cliche almost, but you throw a rock in a pond and the ripple effects go forever. Every one of us has little rocks in the pond that we're throwing. And we don't realize the impact, but from where I'm sitting, I see the impact that these people are having with the little tiny service acts that they're doing. It just makes such a difference to our community. So I think that's what I'm most excited about.
That's beautiful. I love it. So boards and commissions, you say that you've been on a lot of boards and commissions leading up to being on council. Can you tell me a little bit about that? What kind of service project, what kind of stuff were you involved in? What kind of difficulties did you have? What boards were you on? And would you recommend those? That's good. Multi-part question.
I'm on boards and commissions now as a council member. I've been assigned oversight for those boards. Prior to that, I didn't serve on any commissions or boards in the city, although I participated with them. As president of the swim club, I participated with the recreation advisory committee and those kinds of things. Outside of city work, I was on a board at BYU, or I did this or I did that. But most of my service has focused on the swim community, the mountain bike community. I actually did chair a committee that advocated for a new recreation center and library hall. And that was fun. And I got to see up close how citizens can get involved and make a difference in those little things that makes actually a huge impact on our community. The recreation center has been just a huge blessing to our city. And it was because citizens got involved and said, yeah, we want to help and we want to advocate for this and educate the voters on what this will mean and how it will work. So, yeah, I've gotten to learn a lot by doing those things.
That was a big project, the recreation center and the new recreation. I grew up going to that rec center and it was very outdated. So the updates have been incredible and it's nice to be able, I'm sure, to be able to see something physical that you had a hand in making come about.
It was really cool to see the recreation center and to walk through those doors and think, wow, I had a hand in that. And, you know, so many people did, but I had a hand in that. And that was really cool.
I'm excited to see all the great things you do in Orem. We are almost out of time. I would love to end with an invitation. If you have an invitation for our listeners, something they can do now to prepare to run for office or get inspired.
Okay, I have two thoughts on that. My first invitation is to read and reread President Nelson's talk and ask how you can apply it. Ask for eyes to see others like the Lord sees them. Ask to know how you can be a peacemaker in your home, in your family, in your community, in your school area, in your city government, wherever you are. So that's the first part. And then the second part is prepare. And that doesn't mean that you sit down and say, I'm going to make this official track and I'm going to go to school and I'm going to get this education and I'm going to do this job and then I'll be ready to do my government service, my whatever that elected office is. Although it could mean that. But I think what I mean more is that participate in the world around you. Be involved, take the opportunities. And if that means your kids are at the PTA, go get involved in the PTA. And if that means your family is participating in Orem Fest, go get involved in Orem Fest. When we are willing to serve in those ways, whatever that way may be, wherever you are, lift where you stand, wherever that is, it will lead you to greater opportunities to serve and bless this world. And in my case, it led me to run for city council. So I think my best advice is just get involved, lift where you stand, wherever you are, whatever that means, do it, do something, say yes to the opportunity, volunteer, get involved in your kids' classroom, then go to the PTA, go to the PTA council, go help. In my case, I didn't do PTA. I was involved in my kids' community sporting events, and that's what led me here. So whatever it is, and maybe you're a student and you're on campus and there's volunteer opportunities to serve in some capacity or even to be in a club or whatever. Just my advice is go get involved, make friends, meet people, serve, take advantage of whatever opportunities are before you, and those will lead you to exactly where you need to be.
That's great advice. Thank you. Thank you for sharing it. It was so exciting to finally get to talk to you. You're amazing. You're just as wonderful as my mom has been telling me. So thank you. Thank you so much for joining us today, Jen.
Thank you for having me. It was a privilege to meet you. And I love the work you're doing here. So thanks for doing it.
Thank you all for listening to Project Elected Podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to projectelectwomen.org. We're also on Instagram and Facebook as Project Elect Women. We'd love for you to subscribe, rate us, or give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, thank you.